Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We've talked some hockey today. We've talked some football today. Haven't worked basketball in yet, but we probably will. A brief interjection here of some baseball, and Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us at the top of the hour. So, unfortunately, there was a free agent signing in Major League Baseball yesterday that I think is going to adversely affect the Boston Red Sox.
What do you got?
Patrick Corbin signed with the Washington Nationals. Free agent pitcher. 6 years, $140 million. By the way, of the largest contracts for free agent pitchers over the last five off-seasons, he has the fifth largest.
Really?
The only free agent contracts bigger than Patrick Corbin's over the last 5 years, the last five off-seasons.
Oh, okay.
John Lester, 6 years, $155 million. Zach Greinke, 6 years, $206.5 million. Hmm. Max Scherzer, 7 years, $210 million. And, of course, the granddaddy of them all, David Price, 7 years, $217 million.
Well, Corbin's the best guy probably of this class. I don't think he's the best guy. Like, he had a good year. There's no doubt. He had a really good year for Arizona. I think he finished fifth in the Cy Young in the National League at a 3.15 ERA through 200 innings. But he's not like this consistent guy. It's not like Price was or even Sale was before the Red Sox traded for him, where it's just year after year. He's one of the top guys. I think it's the only year he's ever even received Cy Young votes. So I understand why the Nationals brought it. They wanted to add to their rotation, which is already pretty good. And so they give him, what, $23 million plus per year? Is that what that equals out to being?
Well, here's where this hurts the Red Sox. The Yankees were in desperate pursuit of Patrick Corbin. He was the guy they wanted. They think that the Nationals went too many years for six. And too much money, and frankly, I think the Yankees are right. I think the Nationals did overpay. But plan B, according to everything I've read out of New York for the Yankees, is now Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
That's the guy that, now, he's already been there.
Right.
Pitched a couple of years for the Yankees. They know him. They certainly saw what you saw in this season when he was acquired from Tampa Bay and came in here and did such a great job, and especially in the playoffs. So supposedly, plan B for them is now Nathan Eovaldi. And my guess is they're going to bid this out of the range that the Red Sox are going to be comfortable with.
Yeah, and that's a loss. I mean, I definitely wanted Nathan Eovaldi back. You know, you look at what he could do. First of all, I think they need another starter for their rotation. And then just knowing what he's capable of in the postseason, you can move him around a little bit. That mentality, I think he's obviously very well liked by his team. We saw during the Twitch stream, David Price urging him to come back to Boston. So they all want him back. But he's going to be able to cash in. It's a
and
good
I don't blame
him,
by the way.
No, God, no.
Good for him.
I don't think anybody would blame him for that. He should. He should absolutely go cash in. It's going to be tough to see him in a Yankee uniform, though, again. Especially now, you know, we've grown this attachment to him, and then he goes and pitched for the Yankees. I wonder what the number is for the Red Sox. How high will they go?
Yeah, I don't know.
For him.
Because, I mean, think about this. He put his career at risk with what he did for six innings in that 18-inning game in Los Angeles. He's a guy who's already had two Tommy John surgeries. He was pitching on short rest. He goes out there and throws six innings for you in relief. And let's be honest, that elbow could blow up at any point, especially under those circumstances.
Yeah.
And he knew he was a free agent going into this offseason. He put all that stuff aside and said, give me the ball.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely. And then he said he wanted to start the next game, remember?
Yeah. Went into the manager's office.
I can't do that. So one of these articles I was reading on MLB.com that had all of the top free agents, and they ranked them all throughout baseball, you know, with Harper and Machado and all those guys. Nathan Eovaldi is a top 10 free agent. And that includes, that's not top 10 pitcher. That's just top 10 free agent. And one of the speculations was he could receive multiple offers in the four-year, $70 million range. So that's $17.5 million a year. But that
now,
was also
here, he was going to be a reliever. The Yankees want him as a starter.
Yeah, so you get way more money as a starter.
Exactly.
Well, you're not going to get $17.5 million to be a reliever. And so then they were saying that the Braves are interested, the Padres are interested, the Red Sox obviously are interested. It sounds like the Astros.
Philly's names comes up with everybody.
They seem to be attached to everybody, true. And now maybe the going back to the Yankees. And so he's in the perfect spot. All right, all these teams that were linked to him, none of them were the Washington Nationals. So they swoop in, grab Corbin. Dallas Keuchel is probably the only other starting pitcher that is ranked higher than Eovaldi and might make more money than Eovaldi, even though he's also older than him. So Eovaldi's in a great spot. He could potentially get a bidding war going and then cash in with somebody, and it might surpass what the Red Sox would be willing to give him, which would be too bad because I would definitely like him to come back.
I'm kind of resigned to the fact that he's going to be gone. I've just decided, you know, the Yankees really wanted Corbin. He was their top site.
Right.
That was the guy. But Plan B, they're not going to let Plan B get away, are they?
The Yankees normally don't.
They don't.
No, they normally don't. So he could certainly be in line for a huge deal. I do wonder about Dallas Keuchel. Like, would that be the only way that he comes back?
I haven't even seen Keuchel's name linked to the Yankees.
And so I think, but if they're looking for a starting pitcher, and after they miss out on Corbin, you look at the next couple of guys on the list. It's Keuchel. It's Eovaldi. I don't even know who else is after that. I think Ryu, I think he might be a free agent, or Charlie Morton. But so there's a bit of a drop off after that. So Eovaldi's in a great spot to just sit there, hear all these offers, and then decide where to go. So he'll probably get at least 4 years. He's 29, so he's probably going to get at least 4 years. I think he's the same age as Corbin, right? And Corbin just signed for six.
And 140.
So,
which, by the way, there are those in baseball, I've already read this, who said, what are they thinking in Washington?
It's weird. Especially for them.
6 years is the thing.
Well, and not to go down a whole Nationals thing, but they've had some really good rotations in the past with Scherzer.
And they've got a really good one
Strasburg,
now. Yeah.
And when they used to have Zimmerman and all these guys. But what has that ever got them? Maybe they want to beef up their lineup a little bit. They've had, at times, the best starting rotation in baseball for like multiple years, and it doesn't really seem to get them anything. So maybe they want to spend their money somewhere else. So that's fine. And actually, I don't know how he would do going to the American League and going to the AL East anyway. Like, if the Yankees got him, I wouldn't have said, oh, boy. Whereas Eovaldi, he's used to pitching in this division, and he's used to pitching in the American League, and he's had some success. So that'd be much worse for Red Sox. That would be the double whammy.
The Red Sox have already made it clear they'd like to bring him back.
Of course.
And why wouldn't you? He was one of the heroes of the World Series. Did you think they were going to bring him back as a starter?
Yeah.
Dude, the Red Sox, you thought that's what they were planning on doing?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're not going to pay him more than Kimbrel.
No, but my point here is...
I thought he was going to make a lot of money.
Yes.
So if they're going to bring him back.
So where would he sleep? Obviously, the top of your rotation's pretty set.
You've got
Sale and Price, and you've got Porcello.
But he might be better than
Porcello. You've got Rodriguez. I don't think he's better than Porcello.
I don't think Porcello's very good. I think Eovaldi's
career numbers are kind of meh. He had
Have
a
you
real
seen Porcello's
good run
career
here.
Numbers?
He's also got a Cy Young in there, but
okay. Well,
he has
Cy Young in there. He also has years where his ERA was like five. So I think they're both kind of a wash. And Rodriguez, you know, let me know how many starts Rodriguez is going to make. 20? Like he's always going to get hurt, and even then that's five. So who's bumping Eovaldi out?
I mean, there were those, and we read this at the end of the season, who were saying, well, once Craig Kimbrel goes somewhere else, make Nathan Eovaldi the closer.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that, but all these teams are interested, and they're willing to pay him starter money. So if you were going to pay Kimbrel or Eovaldi to close, wouldn't you just pay Kimbrel? Because you know he can do it. He's pretty durable at that. Right? Like, why would you pay Eovaldi more than Kimbrel?
I wouldn't.
Unless he's going to start for you. Unless he's going to throw 180 innings. You know, try to close in on 200 innings. That would be the biggest difference.
I'm just curious what their plan was. They have made it clear they'd like to bring Eovaldi back. They've got a long-term plan that, you know, they haven't yet apprised us of. And I'm wondering where they thought this was, you know, what do they do here? As I said, you've got four starting pitchers right off the top of your head that you think are in your rotation for next year.
Who do you think has a better career ERA, Rick Porcello or Nathan Eovaldi?
Maybe Porcello, I don't know.
Eovaldi. It's close, but Nathan Eovaldi
it's
does.
Real close.
So I think he would be a better starter. Now the question is he as durable? You know, he doesn't have, you know, Rick Porcello has thrown over 200 innings three times in his career. So that's something that's a little bit different. It's not great. I mean, he's going to go out there and give you a 4.5 ERA, but at least you can kind of rely. At least you know every fifth day he's going to get the ball, and that is pretty important. But I think there's definitely room for him in that rotation, especially, you know, this is a team that is so lefty heavy. If you want to throw in another righty in there, you saw how important it ended up being for them in the playoffs and specifically against the Yankees. Like that almost gives you even more reason to bring them back because the Yankees are going to be right there. They're going to They already made the trade for James Paxton. They're going to sign somebody else. One or two guys are going to bring in there. So they're going to be super competitive. You play them a million times a year. So as any kind of like tiebreaker that the Red Sox might need, I think his ability to beat the Yankees is pretty important.
617-779-7937. Tony's in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Yeah, you were saying like almost like this guy risked his career of all the pitching in the playoffs. Like
pitching, pitching six innings on short rest in relief when they were out of bodies.
It's unbelievable because what do you think this guy was worth prior to the playoffs? The reason he's going to get $100 million is because of the four or five games he pitched. This made his career. It didn't take away from it. This guy's an average pitcher who had a great playoff. Okay? He's sand the ball, for Christ's sake.
I said his career numbers are not overly impressive. He had a great playoff run. Even his numbers this year weren't that great. They were okay. Nothing great until the playoffs.
He came in, he pitched the first two games real good, then he imploded, and it took him out of the rotation. They were thinking about not putting him in on the first round. Not the first round, I'm sorry, with Houston, but he pitched so great against the Yankees. So this guy's an average pitcher who came up big, and that's why he's going to make the money.
But Tony, wouldn't you say average pitchers now do make between $15 and $18 million still?
I have no qualm with that, and I hope that, you know, the guy resigns. But, you know, for us to put him up on the pedestal like he's a top-notch pitcher and pay him like that, I don't think so. With two Tommy Johns, you know.
No, that's fair. I want him back, and I just think that, yeah, I'm not expecting him to be the ace. I'm not expecting him to be the co-ace. I just think starters are very expensive, and if you look at who's available and who else you would bring back, I think you know he can pitch here too, which is sort of an unknown.
Look at Corbin. What was he, 13-7 or something like that?
I think he was like 11-7, but yeah.
Yeah, look at the money they get. But I'm just saying, like, you know, that playoffs is going to make this guy the money. He didn't risk anything. He enhanced himself.
I agree. I mean, I think that definitely helped.
No,
him
listen, there's no doubt that. But my point was simply, you're coming off two Tommy Johns. You're pitching on short rest. You throw six innings of relief in the wee hours of the morning.
I mean, I would disagree with Tony that there was no risk in there.
Oh, I think there was huge risk, but which also, is why his teammates were so appreciative. And
but there was a huge reward too, and the reward is
gigantic.
Now you're remembered for that, and you know you're one of the essentially the MVP of the playoffs. You know, that's not an award they gave out, but that's something that
he would have been if they did.
He was right there. Yeah, he was great. When you look back on the 2018 Red Sox, even though he wasn't on the team all year long, he's one of the guys that you're going to remember.
I mean, it's like Joe Kelly saying that as he was watching it, he thought he was going to cry because he's thinking about
like
this.
Porcello did, didn't he? Like the post game,
this guy's out here throwing 100 miles an hour,
right?
And giving you six innings in relief because you didn't have anybody else.
And I just like the idea too of say you pay him whatever it is, $18 million a year. He starts for you, and then you get to the playoffs, and you kind of do what you did this year, where you're leaning more heavily on hopefully Sale's healthy, but Price, you know, Porcello, and then Eovaldi, you know, can also pitch out of the pen. I'm not saying six innings in relief, but I'm just saying if you need to get the eighth inning, he's done it. He could do it. Now, whether or not he's durable enough, sure, add him to the list. Eduardo Rodriguez is hurt all the time.
Sure.
Chris Sale's broken down. Like that, the nature of that position is you don't have a ton of Iron Men anymore.
I think it'll be interesting to see how far the Yankees are willing to go for this guy. Yeah. Not even so much per year, but how many years they're willing to go for a guy coming off two Tommy Johns. They're not going to go 6 years like the Nationals just get. They wouldn't go 6 years for Corbin.
No, I think four. I think it would be five max. Maybe the fifth year is a team option or something like that. That would be my guess is the most years that he gets.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You go into that into TB12 and you're a tight end, right? You're not a quarterback. That works for Brady. So when guys start hurting their back, it's like they don't have the necessary strength around those joints, those hip joints and those flexors. They end up losing. That's why I'm not surprised his back went out. That's why I'm not surprised that he's getting called for holding. He can't hold the point of attack as well as he used to. He doesn't have the explosion. That's why he catches the ball a yard behind the first down marker, and he can't fight his way out. I think he's weaker. I think he's less explosive. And the reason I said right, because the right weight room is the one that Moses is overseeing, the one that where you're squatting, you're benching, you're working on explosive power. You can't play tight end in this league and just work with bands. You can't do it. You can't sit there. You got to take a little bit of the flexibility and strength and those little smaller muscles, okay? And you still need to work the big ones.
That was Christian Fourier yesterday on OMF. And you may be surprised when I say this. I think he's right. I think he's nailed it. I think that for instance, the TB12 method, as Christian says, certainly works for Tom Brady, quarterbacks, pliability. It wouldn't work for an offensive lineman. There are certain things you have to be able to do, explosive things with your legs and your lower trunk. And I think it's the same for the tight end. I think that there is a conflict between what TB12 is telling Gronk to do and what the Patriots are telling Gronk to do. And the Patriots may be right in this one.
But what were we saying last year?
That he said he felt the best he'd ever felt. Right. Pliable and all that stuff.
He wasn't hurt because there's a combination here that is probably really tough to balance because he got hurt all the time. When he was lifting, he was stronger than everybody. And when he was out on the field, he was destroying people. He was the strongest and he was one of the fastest of tight ends. And he was a dominant player for such a long time. And part of it was he was just physically stronger than everybody. So he could bench and squat and power clean and all that stuff. But then he got hurt all the time. And so he said, well, maybe you need to do something a little bit differently to stay on the field. And so now he does it and he's on the field. He plays as healthy of a season last year as he's had in a long time. And
this year, not so much.
This year he hasn't. So was that, what, only good for a year? Or did it run out? Or is part of it, this is his ninth year in the league. Like, maybe it doesn't matter how he's training. He's gone through so many surgeries and he's had a zillion injuries. And he's played a lot of football now to this point. When he fell in the draft and went in the second round in 2010, and because of back injuries, did you think he was going to play 9 years? Like, that's one. Like, we keep comparing, or I don't know if we're comparing him, but we keep seeing Tom Brady play into his early 40s. That's rare, and it's a position that they're making safer and safer. Gronk plays a position where he's getting hit all the time. Even plays where he's not getting tackled, he's trying to throw blocks, or he's getting hit, or he's taking on linebackers. So a 9-year run as a physical tight end, not a Antonio Gates or a Tony Gonzalez tight end, but as a physical tight end, that is a long career. So I'm not saying Fourier is wrong, but I feel like what would be the perfect thing for him right now? Because if he goes back to squats and benching, is he going to get hurt again?
See, I think that was part of the conflict, you know, before about the whole Alex Guerrero working with Gronk. And I think,
of course,
I think that the Patriots felt that may work for Tom and what he does, but for the particular skill set, you need to do your job, Rob. We need you to do other things than that.
So was last year a fluke then?
Could have been.
Maybe?
Yeah, a bit of one.
I mean, because he said he felt really good, and for him to be, you know, 28, it'd be as productive and, more importantly, as healthy as he was. I thought he was a pretty dominant player last year. Now, maybe, you know, his second year in the league, he or any tight end may never be able to top that. 90 catches, 1,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, and he played in every game. That's impossible to top, not just for him, but I don't know who's going to be able to do that. And so right now, yeah, he does not look like the same dominant guy at all, coming off one of the worst games you're ever going to see with him, with a couple of penalties mixed in, only a couple of catches. It was pretty much a non-factor on offense.
And even if I grant you that it was a bit of a fluke, the play that he got stopped on Sunday, the pass play along the line of scrimmage,
yeah,
where a guy who's 6 foot, you know, 210 pounds, basically stopped him in his tracks. That just seemed so weird watching it.
Yeah, it's like in the program when Latimer just doesn't have it anymore.
That's what the very thought I had.
Now, that's, of course, for different reasons. I'm not accusing Gronk of anything. I'm just saying that was very different. And yeah, for him, and we had a caller bring up that play, and he's right. How many times have you seen one play, no matter how good the player is or how big the player is, one defensive player be able to just take on Gronk up high, like tackle him, try to tackle him up high and not get pushed backwards? Because usually that's why guys go at his knees, because they can't tackle him up high. And I think it was Kendricks or whoever it was for Minnesota, just wrapped him up, and then they just kind of ran down the sideline. Like, it was just like they were playing tug of war, and there was nobody had an advantage, just like pushing it all the way down. And you're saying, man, I don't remember the last time we saw that from Rob Gronkowski.
I think that Christian's point, though, may have some validity, that while he felt better, he felt more pliable, he felt all of those things, it didn't help what he needs to play that position, which is a whole lot different. I mean, you know, it's not like a wide receiver or something.
Yeah, but then aren't you also more likely to be out for a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury?
Absolutely possible. We don't know why he was out.
But. And it's sort of the give or the take, and there's a conversation we had a few weeks ago about, would you rather have 75% of Rob Gronkowski or no Rob Gronkowski?
I think 75%.
Yeah, I think you will. If those are the difference, like, I don't know, because the 100% Gronk just unfortunately wasn't super reliable. It was always the same old argument. When he's on the field, he's dominant, and you love him, and there's nobody better. But also, there's so many times where he's not on the field.
All right, Jason, you got another cut from Christian yesterday?
It's like when guys get older and they start becoming more aware of their body and what their body needs, and they get influenced by other people, like people they trust, they have a tendency to move away from the traditional way of getting in shape, which is like a strength coach, which is that meathead mentality, which is not the way they run their weight room. I mean, they're advanced. They're ahead of the curve. All those guys in there, from the strength conditioning coach to the to trainers,
yeah, but if
to
he
the
wasn't,
food guys,
if he
all
wasn't,
of them.
If he wasn't following it, because he was looking at what Tom Brady, and you might be right, what Tom Brady needs is something, his needs for his body is much different than what Gronk needs, because Brady looks fine. Physically, Brady is not an issue right now.
He looks
different
than he did when he was running his 40.
Yes, but right now, Gronk physically does not look like the same guy. He does not have that power.
If I was going to take a stab at it, I would say that I personally would have some regrets about my choices in the offseason.
Oof. All right. Now, I also don't think, without knowing for sure, I can't imagine TB12 treats every player the same. Like, they're not all, they don't see,
no,
Tom Brady's different.
Basic,
Tom Brady's a quarterback.
The basic tenets, I think, are probably similar.
But I mean, if they're doing the exact same thing, then there's nothing dumber than that. Like, you just can't. And Tommy Curran knows more about TB12 than anybody else in the media. So we asked him coming up at 1 o'clock. But I would feel like he might do it's some of the same ideas, but Gronk just is going to have to do things differently. Like, he doesn't have to work. He's not throwing the ball. He's blocking, and he's doing all this. He's taking more hits than Brady is.
And let's be honest, isn't the easiest option here, like I've been saying all along, that he's hurt? Isn't it just as simple as that? That the reason he's not showing the same explosiveness and able to do the same things is because he's hurt.
And so that would say, you know, he's hurt doing whatever it is. So last year was a healthy year for him, but maybe it didn't matter that he was doing TB12. Maybe it's just a healthy year because he was due, right? Like, he hasn't been injured every single season.
Right, right.
So, you know, you could look back and say, well, look at it. He was squatting and doing all that stuff then, and he was able to play. But, yeah, we know that he's dealing with an ankle and a back injury. Or, you know, how severe, I don't know, because he was able to play last couple of weeks.
All right, one quick note, football note, just to ruin Jason Rossi's day as we get back to the calls with you guys. The XFL has announced their 8 cities that they'll be playing in beginning in 2020. New York, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Washington, D.C.
Sorry, Rossi.
Sorry, Rossi.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Sorry, Rossi.
And
look, I think it's ridiculous that they're in New York, to be honest with you. So they start playing in February.
They're in 7 NFL markets, and the one that they're not had a team, St.
They're
Louis.
They're playing in NFL stadiums as well.
Really?
Yeah, they're playing in all the big stadiums. Wow. They're playing where the Seahawks play. They're playing where, well, the Dallas one, they're playing where the Texas Rangers play. They're not, you know, in that
playing Jerry World.
They're not in Jerry's not letting them in there.
Well, that's not even in Dallas, right? Isn't that like in Arlington or whatever?
Well, and they're playing in Arlington too.
Oh,
they're playing where the Rangers play.
The Rangers play right across the street. This whole thing, but for them not to have a Boston team, honestly,
no Boston team.
It's February when they start playing. You want to go sit outside here and watch them play?
100%, I would be there.
Oh, you come
there's
on.
No Rossi, other Rossi would be there.
There's no other football like outlet here. Like they've done arena leagues. They've had all these different things.
There's no other football outlet.
In Boston.
Aren't the Patriots enough for you?
They are. I love what we have, but I think you know, all these different outlets are coming in.
You're greedy now.
Yeah, we should. Boston deserves better than not to have some of these other leagues coming
in. Deserves better? You're talking about an XFL team. They're going to be gone in 2 years anyway. Does that matter?
What if they're not?
They will be.
Oh, they. Yeah, I don't think this is going to survive.
Did you see what the AAF, what they have for quarterbacks?
Yeah, there's...
What is the XFL going to have?
Those guys' backups.
I know, it's gonna be the worst. This thing is not gonna. It's not gonna matter.
They addressed that. I was listening a little bit of the press conference. They said that they are going to compete with the. They're going to try to compete for the players that would go to other leagues.
They're not going to. It's
and try to get ahead
work.
Of the curve on.
It's amazing that somebody would take a failure of an idea and bring back the exact same idea. It's unprecedented. This won't work, and now they even have more competition than they did before.
And they're going into, let's say, Seattle. They're going to play where the Seahawks play.
Seattle.
They're going to go fight for the advertising dollars in Seattle with the Seahawks.
See, what they should have done is St. Louis makes sense. Go to San
Diego. No team there. That's
good. Go to San Diego.
Yeah, go
there. They're about to lose a team. Go to Oakland. Go to some of the, because you're not going to get 60,000 people at your games anyway. So go to some of these cities that are upset that they don't have a team, and they might actually embrace you.
They just put a quote up here.
New York. Do you know how many pro teams New York has?
That's my point.
That's insane. No, I'm with you on that one. They don't need a team.
They just said 8 hungry cities get
hungry?
Their chance at the XFL.
They're all well-fed. All of these cities, with the exception of St. Louis.
And New York, they're playing in MetLife Stadium, like Dale already said. Like they're playing in a stadium.
The third pro team that plays there.
In the same sport.
So now Los Angeles has a third team. Dallas
they went
two.
From none to three,
three
right?
teams. So that is brutal. Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay needs another team?
They're doing real well down there if you watch any of those games.
Yikes.
Everybody thinks Vince is a genius.
I don't.
God, he does some dumb
stuff. Not on this front.
What he's basically doing is redoing all the mistakes he made before.
This is, well, he's like, I'm going to force it to working. Like, the XFL is going to happen.
He addressed it by saying that last time they went into too small of markets. So this time they're going into the major markets.
Dumb. I think you're better off with the smaller market. That was not their biggest problem. Their biggest problem was they announced that they had no plan. They had no teams. They had no coaches. They had no nothing. They had no fields. They had nothing.
Somebody
like, we're starting next year.
You know what Vince is going to do? He's going to put all the fans on the hard camera side. Those stadiums are going to be empty.
He
does it every Monday and Tuesday.
So this starts 2020.
February 2020.
We're a month away from 2019. So it's a year away. This thing is a year away. They also, I thought this was interesting, they didn't announce the team names because I don't think they wanted people to focus on them and make fun of them because you know they're going to be awful names.
Well, look at like Seattle, like with this hockey expansion. They haven't announced it yet, but there's all these rumors. And is there anything that people like?
Yeah, Kraken. Like, I like
you
Kraken.
Like,
I love
you like Kraken.
Kraken. I love Kraken.
So here's, I'll give the Vince, the XFL, whoever, I'll give them credit. They tied up all the Twitter handles before they made the announcement. So as soon as they made the announcement on Twitter, it was at XFLNY,
yeah,
whatever
right.
it was.
With the XFL, then followed by the city.
Right.
Right.
So Keefe is doing a search, and somebody in anticipation of this had already tied up the at XFL Boston.
I know. I gave Rossi hope. I said, look at
you
this.
You got Rossi all excited when you told him, look, here it is.
But I didn't say I guaranteed it. I never said that. I said my money would be on they do have one, though.
I don't like spoilers, but worse than a spoiler is telling me something's going to happen that doesn't.
Well, too bad.
Get over it.
Too bad. It's the XFL. All right.
Well, there's
did
your
you watch
cities.
The announcement? Who's did Vince do the announcement?
Vince McMahon started it. Then
Oliver
they went
Luck.
To Oliver Luck. And then they introduced
oh, God, right.
a representative from each town by like their biggest sponsor.
And Oliver Luck says, by the way, they're going to test for PEDs in the XFL.
Dumb. Also dumb.
Oh, no. They're going to test to make sure you're using
oh, good,
PEDs,
good.
I think is
but
what he
you
actually
got nothing
meant.
In there. You're done. 6 weeks. You're out. Over under 2.5 seasons, Dale.
Oh, if he starts the third season, he'll finish it. But I would say over under 2.5, I'd take the under.
Take the under. Rossi?
Banging the over, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
You
over?
Just said
money.
It was dumb. What they're
it's
doing?
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. What they're doing?
It's gonna
it's
last.
So
though.
Dumb.
It will work.
No, it's not.
They'll make it work.
They don't
this time
have
they will.
Players, and they're taking it to cities that have the best players in the world playing in their city.
When we're all doing this show on this exact date 3 years from now, it'll have to be 4 years.
Also,
from now.
What's dumb is New York, because some of these other teams, I didn't go through each one, but like for us, for example, when the Patriots season is over, it's not like we stop becoming sports fans. We now turn our attention to the other three teams. So when you're in these other markets, the smaller markets actually make a little bit of sense because they might embrace you like a college team. They're not going to have any good players. That's the biggest problem. Well, you just want this to work for some reason. I don't know. Did you buy stock in XFL? What happened here?
I did. What I really wanted was a team in Boston.
He still wanted to apply for a job with the XFL Boston franchise.
Could have been a water boy for
that. What
were
you going to do? You're going to be on the sideline?
Just sitting there.
Honorary captain? Coach
no, I can't be a captain on my high school team. Now we're going to be a captain on a professional team.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We were about 20 years, exactly 20 years ago, when we announced the original XFL. A lot has changed since then. This was, of course, little we know, we were 20 years ahead of our time. In addition to that, though, there's so many things that have changed. Some have not. But those who have changed, obviously, is as far as WB is concerned, as far as me personally, what have you, is concerned, there's a financial commitment for the long term for the XFL. There is also many differences as it relates to distributors, and because there is a clamoring for live sports events, entertainment events on many, many networks and what have you than never before. And there are many differences as well in terms of the play and that we'll be presenting, a more innovative, a more, I think, exciting play. And kickoff, of course, is going to be, as announced by the governor, kickoff is going to be on the February 8th and 9th, that weekend following the Super Bowl.
So that, believe it or not, was Vince McMahon.
Is he all right?
Didn't sound like corporate Vince there.
Ross, is he okay? Before we say anything
about
him?
Not doing so good.
No, he doesn't sound
very good.
Older
gentleman.
Well, okay, but so he sounds really bad.
Here's the deal. The week after the Super Bowl, this coming February.
Yes.
The week after, the weekend after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Will be the opening game for the Alliance of American Football.
Horrible name.
Which will also fail, by the way. Well, the
worse guys, than XFL.
The guys upstairs at AAF really like
it
a lot.
It is a good pub for them.
So they start the weekend after the Super Bowl in 2019.
With Aaron Murray and Christian Hackenberg.
Who?
As the top. Those are their top two stars.
So the weekend after the Super Bowl in 2020, you will have competing leagues going against each other. The Alliance of American Football and the XFL will both be playing that same weekend.
And it's going to be a double KO. They're going to knock each other out. Nobody's going to have interest for either. You're not going to know where to go. Rossi, for some reason, is convinced that the XFL is going to work.
AAF will be gone a year from now, by the way. That will last
They're
one
a
season.
One and done, you think?
That's a one and done without a doubt.
All right, so why will the XFL succeed?
Because they'll get all the great players from the AAF.
Yeah, who?
I just think that this time around that they actually are thinking about it. Like,
no, you're so blind to this. If this wasn't the WWE supporting this and backing this, you would not be so adamant that this is going to work.
A little bit of yes, but at the same time, okay, so who's backing up the AAF? Nobody. It's a league that they're trying.
Nick Stevens.
Oh, there you go.
Matty Blake.
Those guys upstairs.
They're backing. Yeah.
They're backing it.
Yes.
That's what we're
going to do. No, it's Dick Ebersol, isn't it? Or Ebersol's kid.
Ebersol's kid is backing the AAF.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
I just think where they're trying to go with this one, with the bigger cities, they have more of an opportunity to grab the attention.
And he's talking about it's going to be innovative ways of watching football or playing football. What'd he say?
There's going to be innovative ways watching from television and in the stadium, they say.
They're not going to get a lot of people in stadium.
And they're playing in these gigantic NFL stadiums.
How many people are going to go to MetLife? People want, I mean.
In February.
Yeah.
To watch
the
guys they don't know.
The Outlaws.
The names are going to be very important, but if you look back, if you're just on television, you're flipping through your channels, you see New York versus LA, you're more than likely to watch it than Alabama versus Houston. It's just, that's why I think they have a chance.
Okay, I mean, there's something to that, I suppose. Now, they had a New York team. So he said they weren't in big markets last time. That's garbage. They were in some small markets. They had a New York team, a Chicago team, a Los Angeles team, a San Francisco team, and a Las Vegas team.
Well, Las Vegas isn't that big, but
all right. But they had a Las Vegas, which I think is a good market to be in.
Yeah,
I mean, at least then I thought it was smart.
Yeah, finish the list though. What were the other teams?
Orlando, Birmingham, and Memphis.
Here are the cities.
Those are huge wrestling towns.
Yeah. Here are the cities that the AAF is going into starting this February. By the way,
that's
you'll
right.
be able to go to games.
They just had the QB draft,
yeah.
which I actually love that idea
for the Atlanta Legends,
Atlanta,
the Birmingham Iron.
They're really trying to make Birmingham happen.
The Memphis Express,
Memphis again getting another crack.
The Orlando Apollos.
These are all XFL cities. What are they doing?
The Arizona Hotshots.
There's a new one.
The Salt Lake Stallions.
Salt Lake.
The San Antonio Commanders.
Okay.
And the San Diego Fleet.
So, non-NFL markets.
Well, Atlanta, San Diego, obviously NFL.
But San Diego...
Arizona, well... No,
San Diego's about to lose their team, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, it's really just Atlanta.
Arizona's in Tempe, so technically they're not.
Yeah. Really, Atlanta's the only clear overlap.
Yes.
And they're also an eight-team league?
Yes, they are.
So, now you're talking about 16... You have to field 16 teams outside of the NFL's 32. You're talking about a lot of guys. And we just went through the list earlier in the show about backup quarterbacks in the NFL who are trash. Those guys would all start.
Can you imagine if you're a backup in the Alliance of American Football?
I might. I could imagine that, actually.
You might have a shot, actually.
Because, Rossi, don't you think at some point just sitting there not knowing any of the players, like, isn't that one of the problems that, like, the Arena League runs into?
Oh, no, I understand.
Like, it's going to
be the way
I mean,
they market,
but...
though. I think these with this backing, whether you like the way WWE does their business or not, they will be able to market their players.
So I would also argue this. I don't like Thursday night football. I certainly don't need year-round football. I don't mind the break.
No, I like...
And then the NFL, there's enough stuff in the offseason, like the draft and free agency, that keeps you connected to your team that you like.
Think about the ratings. In the NFL offseason, you're going to have AAF games, XFL games, or the NFL draft. What's going to do a higher rating?
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. Now, that's one weekend, but still, how long are the seasons, did they say?
They haven't announced that yet, but I would argue it would be done. I think these will be relatively short seasons.
The AAF.
10 games, maybe?
The AAF will play their championship game the weekend of April 26th and 28th.
So, basically, you're talking about a three-month season, kind of even a little bit shorter. So all of February, all of March, all of essentially April. So 3 months?
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe it is 8 or 10 weeks, then you have a couple play. Because think about it, the playoffs, you can't send everybody, right? So if playoffs are probably a semifinal and a final, so that's not going to drag on very long. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being too close-minded about it. I just don't see how it's going to work at all.
Here's the AAF. I'm sorry, but that's what they're
called.
That's
what's the name of it. XFL, they at least have the advantage there. XFL is a sweet name.
Right. They will, the AAF will be overseen by former NFL general manager Bill Polian.
Failed.
Former Pittsburgh Steelers safety Troy Polamalu.
What?
And executive J.K. McKay. Advisors also include former Steelers receiver Hines Ward.
All right.
Former Giants and Raiders defensive end Justin Tuck. And Charlie Ebersol's father, Dick Ebersol. So these are the guys who are the brain trust behind the AAF.
Yeah, I don't see that lasting very long either. Now, the one thing that gives me pause about the 2.5 seasons of the XFL is that line that Vince said about all the future money. Like, if they have a ton of money, maybe it's one of those things where, regardless of ratings, regardless of revenue, they're just going to push it through for a number of years. But there's no interest in it.
Orlando does have their coach. Well, they all have their coaches, but when Orlando... announced their team in the AAF. They announced Steve Spurrier was going to be
the old ball coach.
Yeah,
they got him.
Atlanta is coached.
Do you think he'll go with the two quarterback system? Remember when he had Doug Johnson and Jesse Palmer, and they would rotate plays?
That's a good
play. Every other play was a different quarterback.
It was innovative, Keith.
I guess.
Here are the coaches in the AAF: Atlanta, Brad Childress,
Chili;
Birmingham, Tim Lewis.
Unfamiliar with Tim Lewis.
Memphis, Mike Singletary.
Oh, there you go, Mike.
Orlando.
Can't win with them.
Orlando, Steve Spurrier. Arizona, Rick Neuheisel.
Neuheisel.
Salt Lake, Dennis Erickson. San Antonio, Mike Riley. San Diego, Mike Martz.
So really, it's just some good college coaches and
not
coordinators.
Win a game.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Well, they're a year ahead of the XFL. They've got names. They've got coaches.
They're a year ahead of the XFL. However, the announcements came out around the same time. And so I like that the XFL is giving themselves a longer time to prepare. because that was the biggest issue they had before. They're like, here comes the XFL. They're like, yeah, where are the teams? Don't worry about it. Who's going to play? We're not sure yet, but we're starting in like 6 months. And you're like, this. There's no way in hell that's going to work. And it didn't.
They will have two games each on Saturday and on Sunday. Most weekends, it says. You know, we're going to take
what
this
does that
weekend
mean?
Off. I don't know.
Because they have no idea still.
Listen to this.
Saturday
hype,
and Sunday games.
It's all about the hype for this.
Is this the AAF or is this your XFL guy?
XFL.
This
no.
is history begun. This is the XFL.
That's awful. That's it's like more, something I made in my garage.
Yeah, that's really bad.
It's a talented up. Garage, Dale.
Yeah, or garage band, perhaps. That's not very good. Rossi's just so blind by the WWE here. It's just, that's what it is.
It really isn't, though. I actually think
you just said the AAF is going to be done in a year. What are the significant differences between the two?
Said it's the time. They are just throwing things at you so fast. They have no time to actually put things together. They're getting these coaches who I think won't even be interested in doing this. That's my biggest concern with
probably
when you name these high profile coaches.
Here's the thing: are they going to try to tweak the game too much? The XFL? Yeah, because remember
Vince will do dumb
stuff. Like, are they going to do like the scrum
like
for the kickoff?
They'll
like,
do the same stuff they did last time. In this case, I don't know if they're going to do anything that they're just going to modify things that the NFL will then take.
Now,
like the head over cam.
You do have to stand for the anthem. I believe Vince said that, right?
Vince,
he said that in the last press conference.
Yeah, I think he did. So that's important to a lot of people.
Well,
so people
considering
that
Vince McMahon's wife works in the Trump administration,
yep,
chances were real good you were going to stand for the anthem.
Maybe they'll do some hair versus hair games. Or they'll do some, what? Like the loser, the whole losing team
loser,
has to shave their head?
Loser leaves town?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
See, this you're already getting. You guys
Texas
are building
death
it.
Match. Texas death match.
You think two teams in Texas. One has to leave.
Is like a battle royal type of situation? There's a lot they can do here.
Lower cage over the field.
They might have to.
Well, cage match
that's,
thing.
That's their overtime rules. Don't get me started on those. Tables, ladders, and chairs.
If the AAF survives a second season.
Bet it doesn't.
I say if.
Yeah.
Then they go head-to-head with the XFL, and you'll have two leagues playing on the same weekends that nobody wants to watch.
I won't watch any of it.
I disagree. No, you guys will watch
I'll
it.
Watch
that's the thing.
Some
I,
of it. No,
and it'll
I
be good
know.
Fodder
I mean,
for the shows.
But
it'll
from,
be good
think
for
about
us.
It. From August to February, every weekend, you're watching football. I'm watching football. You're watching football. We, as a collective group, are watching football. I even watch, probably we don't talk about it, but I'll try to watch games Saturday, too. I try to watch college games. So you're just watching so much football that what you need a little bit of a break after that. You have things to do. Like on weekends, whereas at least in the fall, it's an understanding in my house that Sunday afternoons I'm useless. I'm on the couch, I'm watching football the whole time. Now I'm like, hey,
that's
honey, the
Wednesday nights,
the XFL's on today. I gotta take in this XFL game. She's like, are you out of your mind?
I think their hope is that you treat it just like you treat college football. It's there, you'll sit down and watch. You're at a bar, you'll watch it. But that's, it's not something that you're going to like change your life around.
Now, AAF.
I can promise you I'm not going to change my life around
for AAF it. The AAF does have TV. They've got a partnership.
Their games are on TV?
They've got a partnership with
so.
CBS.
Which is outrageous. Oh, is it going to be CBS Sports Network?
Both. CBS and the CBS Sports Network. Has Vince announced any TV partnership for him?
Got to be a Fox deal, right?
He said, as of right now, there is nothing locked in, but due to recent things that have been acquired, they have a network, and so all the rumors are FS1. This will be an FS1 product.
Makes sense.
Because they've got this big Fox Sports deal that they just
that
signed.
That makes sense. And FS1 could use all the content they can get. I mean, it's probably better than some of the stuff they have on, but nobody's watching that, so.
Well, there you go.
It's a crazy world we live in. Rossi's all about the XFL. Unfortunately, who's your team going to be? Unfortunately, there's no Boston team. You got to pick a squad.
I'll wait till the team names come out.
Decide then.
Smart.